Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, December the 11th, 345th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the Executive Director at the Humboldt County Convention and Visitors Bureau, Tony Smithers.
Hello, Brian.
How you doing, guy?
Doing great, thank you.
You must have had lunch.
I did.
Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. Coffee involved?
No, it's just as much lunch as my wife would let me have, but it's amazing how far it goes.
Oh, more than enough, huh?
Yes.
I see. The dutiful husband has spoken. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time. Well, I stumbled on, in doing a little bit of housework out here, a City of Eureka Revitalization Plan of 1973. There were a couple things that were germane to the Convention and Visitors Bureau, which had been formed for about a year and a half at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about some of the impressions and the anticipations at that time versus what the needs might be today. We'll kick it when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Oh, you sure you didn't want the one above that?
Them both.
All right. Mm-hmm. The one that Tony likes. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes a kidder, but nobody lends him money. The one I like, you can pretend to be serious. You just can't pretend to be witty. Oh my. So how goes it in the great land of tourism in the state of California?
It moves along nicely. The state as a whole had a not a banner year, but a solid year coming out of recession. You know, in many ways the tourism tends to lead the rest of the economy out of recession.
Really?
Mhm. You see a turnaround first in leisure travel. And then quickly, business travel reflects a improving business climate.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah.
I could see that would be the case. So as you talk to the hotel folks and the motel folks and the visitor servicing folks, did they have a good year? Or were just the numbers of tourists up and they were having to drop the bed rate or the room rates, and they were having to discount in order to attract the tourists into their businesses?
No, we have not had to discount. There are those who choose to discount. We generally, the professionals and the members of our boards and what have you, think that discounting is not a very useful strategy, and particularly since we do have a limited number of rooms in the peak season, and there's no reason why we have to.
Are you hearing plans other than the one by, I guess we'll just call it the Mulkey and Kovacevic site, behind, well, may as well go the full distance. Behind the former KVIQ building.
That is the Holiday Inn Express being built by Shailesh Patel.
So we would say Wabash.
Yeah.
Yeah. West of Wabash and Broadway, I guess, is probably the normal. What kind of timeline are those guys on?
It is to hopefully be open by the fall of next year. Maybe sooner, but probably no better than the fall of next year.
So things should ought to be going vertical halfway soon. Is it a two-story or a one-story or even higher?
I think it's a two-story. If you look at the foundations that are going in, they're doing a lot of foundation work.
But not a six or seven-story?
No.
So what is that going to do to the dynamics of Eureka?
Well, first of all, we have to reflect that it is a good sign that someone's investing in a new property means that they are bullish on the visitor economy. They see the capacity to, get a piece of the pie. But secondly, will it affect existing businesses? Well, yes. The dynamic of the market is such that the customer will tend to gravitate towards a new facility, particularly since there is not a Holiday Inn Express in Eureka right now. Brand loyal customers are going to gravitate to that brand. So there's a certain amount of, gimme, low-hanging fruit kind of business that they're going to get.
What is that dynamic when there's new construction like that? Is it Does it serve to be a magnet for a community? Does it just shuffle everybody who's in town? Does it bring somebody else into the decision equation that, okay, now instead of three choices, now we got four. Or instead of five, we got six. Or instead of 28, we got 29.
Yeah, especially when you look at what brand it is and what segment of the market it serves. So obviously, people, who, and I couldn't even tell you what the equivalent other brands that are going to compete directly with the Holiday Inn would be. But
well, you think Best Western would be Marriott's? I mean, that
probably,
that niche.
Yeah. It's certainly not a low-end property or low-end brand. It's definitely serving a business traveler. They are going to have a limited amount of meeting space there too, so there'll be some events happening and some other kinds of activities.
Large by a meeting? Are you thinking like 20-30?
Yeah, nothing too large.
So more of a business center, and maybe blow a wall out kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not anything larger.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Why? Why is he building it? Does he see the demand?
We're talking about the gentleman who built the Hampton Inn Express in Arcata, which is now the premier property up on Giuntoli and Valley West, probably making money hand over fist there. I think he knows what he's doing.
Well, I'm wondering if he sees potential in the marketplace or if he's just going to cream off the top end of the existing and there'll be less for the others to fend for. I mean, two different strategies they can manifest themselves similarly.
Well, I'm not an expert in that sort of end of it, but from my gut feeling, the finance of such a endeavor means that you can't survive just by skimming business off from others. You have to develop new business. Otherwise, you're never going to meet your financing goals.
So what is he? I wonder what he's seeing that is new business coming into our area. What is this potential that he's seeing as we're observing what the Hoyers are going out of business? That'll give us five or six empty storefronts within three blocks in the old downtown Eureka area on Fifth Street. I mean, you see signs going one way, but then you see someone who appears to be pretty astute investing significant amounts in another part of town.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an interesting dynamic. You haven't spent much time.
I'm not privy to a lot of that. No, but.
Well, maybe we need to talk to Tony the Super Sleuth then when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Tony Smithers.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. 5 years ago, Mark and Lori Sanchez hit upon an idea. Gift baskets of Humboldt-made food products that folks could send to family and friends here or in distant places. They coined the name Humboldtious for their collection, and their company, Bella Baskets, took off. Today they have regular customers in all 50 states and 14 countries. One man in Point Barrow, Alaska, regularly orders a meat sauce. A film company in Ontario, Canada, orders barbecue sauce for its catering department. This Christmas season, Mark and Lori expect to sell 700 Bella Baskets. Their taste treats include such things as canned albacore, honey, barbecue sauces, hot sauces, jams, pralined almonds, coffee, and chocolate. All Humboldt County products. Based in Old Town, their business continues to grow, and, just as important, it's bringing outside money into our economy. Their website is bella-basket.com. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and activities that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. Tony, as you look at various opportunities in our region, whether it's potential additional tourist activity, whether it's job creation, some of these various things, how vital does the tourist industry play as a niche in either exposing some of this opportunity or almost encouraging and attracting people who might be able to take advantage of those opportunities?
Well, we kind of pride ourselves in saying that a lot of Humboldt entrepreneurs and emigres, as it were, people who started businesses here and who have made quite a contribution to our economic life, started as tourists. They found a place that they fell in love with, and those who had the ability to move here and to bring their dreams and resources here did so. And So yeah, we don't do that on purpose. There's no real strategy to reach out to well-heeled entrepreneurs versus other visitors.
But are we missing the boat by not?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, we've got business relocation program or residential, you know, the welcome wagon kind of a thing, and new package for those folks. What about for a business that might be here? And I don't know how you would ever identify them, because they're probably not going to say, "I'm thinking of relocating my business," as they're driving through town.
Right.
Yeah, it would have to be some form of follow-up. But
well, and you know, there's a lot of other issues involved in bringing your business here, and I'm sure you hear a litany of the problems and transportation and labor and all kinds of things.
Yeah, that'll be tomorrow's show.
Yeah.
When you see some of the different shopping districts, I'm looking at this document that was, oh, what's this in the back here? 1973. It's talking about a Eureka that doesn't exist. The one page we've got in front of us, fourth and fifth, between fourth and fifth on F Street, a covered open air walking mall.
Mm.
But of course, that was back when we had businesses in that section and not empty buildings. When you see things like this of what folks were seeing as a vision for our area, and you talk to tourists about what their vision is of the area currently, their experiences, do they tend to work in concert? Do you see that there's perhaps a disconnect? What kind of feedback do you get from the tourists who are coming through our area?
That they are not coming primarily to enjoy the built environment, the things that community planners and developers work and dream for.
So like the Victorians and that used to be a big draw,
well,
aren't?
No, they are. But it's an issue of preservation rather than of creating something new that's going to attract people. Not to say that we couldn't put a museum in, you know, that could be a destination draw, but it all comes back to it's the redwoods.
So if you had the museum that you referenced and part of the Timber Heritage Association's, I was imagining that's probably what you were referencing, something that was real in connection to the trees, would that be enough of a draw? Or is that still too non-natural to count for a lot of people for the radar screen that they're coming off?
No, it would help, and it would harvest a certain percentage of people. But I think when you look at what we might think of as a big successful destination, is that they have multiple attractions like this, and they reach a critical mass, so that there's going to be something for everyone to do. There's something for every taste, and then it becomes a much easier destination for families to choose to come to.
So in that scenario, when you're trying to do that kind of an attraction, and you're the first couple of guys out in front, do you have to have staying power, or is one enough to make it happen, and then two is as a single project, three is a single project, but then there develops a synergy between all of them, not as standalones, but in addition to a standalone.
There certainly is a synergistic effect, I think, you see between, say, you know, small community museums. There's one here, there's one in this town, one in that town. All of a sudden, you look like a heritage destination because there's so much cherishing and interpretation of local history.
KINS, news and information. Whoop, wait a minute. I got a minute early. Ha! Good, another probing question. There's still time.
Okay, probe me.
So in other small communities like ours that are isolated, what is the tipping point? Can you tell, or does it just happen?
Well, when we can't, you know, get into our own favorite stores because of the line out the door, we'll know something's going on. It really seems to be, though, the issues are those of, you know, access to market. The fact that we are just so far away from major markets means that we have to try harder. We definitely have to try harder.
So would the train help to alleviate that, even though it's not going to be visitor or a passenger based?
Are you talking about the tourist train around the bay?
Yes.
That would, no question, that would be a destination draw. That would bring people here.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
Santa's been to Palco Pharmacy with a full bag overflowing with great ideas. For Christmas season entertaining, you'll find seasonal dishes and glassware for a wonderful festive event. There's some dancing mice and fun figurines that seem to have captured the essence of Christmas joy and fun. And don't forget those very special Christmas cards for loved ones and family members. Those are also available for you. Santa's been there, and now it's your turn to go to Palco Pharmacy in the Scotia Shopping Center, your center for pharmacy and gift ideas this Christmas.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers, the Executive Director of the Humboldt County Convention and Visitors Bureau. Tony, I know it seems to be something that comes back probably every 15 years or so. The concept of a convention center.
Right.
There are many of us who see that there would be an awful lot of positive unintended consequences associated with the convention center. Reading has had theirs, you know, and I guess it's kind of gone through a couple of different evolutions. Okay, fair enough. But you look around it, and there's been a fair amount of development around it. And it's kind of like you drop a big box retailer, and all of a sudden things start happening all around it because it's the place to be. Is there, from your perspective, and I know this is a gut, it's not doing any of the studies or reviewing any of the other studies, is there space for a convention center in Humboldt County that can really qualify as a convention center? Not River Lodge suffices, but it's not really a convention center in the pure sense, you know, with the breakout rooms and things of that nature.
Right, right. Well, is there a space? Well, the answer is yes. I mean, could it provide the kind of venue that would be of benefit to the local population? You know, yes, people would use it. The question always is, though, is it an economically viable proposition? And that is what the studies I have read have always stumbled over. Basically, if you look at just the revenues that are thrown off by such a venue, you know, room rentals and fees and what have you, there's no way you can ever justify building one. Particularly when you realize that any revenues that it does throw off are basically cannibalized from other venues around the county. However, if you look at it as more of an economic engine, you know, more of a magnet, as you're saying, particularly if you're able to use it to bring in overnight guests and build hotel stays in our off-peak times of year, then it certainly has the potential to, you know, be a significant economic engine.
Is it one that would help to bring our area back onto the map for a lot of folks? I say that somewhat facetiously because we do seem to be getting on maps. It's not maybe the most desirable maps, but we're on a lot of people's maps. It seems as if conventioneers, let's go with the organizers, tend to want somewhere that's simple and easy.
Right. They want a one-stop shop.
You go to San Francisco, you want Moscone, boom, 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 and it's taken care of. Simple and straight. That, to me, indicates that there's a lot of frequency. So they've got the staff, and they know what they're doing, and it becomes routine rather than exceptional. If we had the rail, if we had the airport, if we had, can you foresee ever Humboldt County being able to have regular conventions, one a week kind of thing?
Conventions, I don't know. That's a loaded word. First of all, you know, there's the question of what the product is. I mean, a lot of meeting planners are looking for what they call a headquarters hotel, which is a true one-stop shop where the meeting space, the breakout rooms, the lodging, the dining are all in one easy-to-reach venue.
Kind of contained.
Contained. And so, you know, any large hotel in the big city usually fulfills those needs. But the other thing I wonder is, what is the future of convention business as a whole? certainly places like, you know, San Francisco and Las Vegas, you know, make a lot of money off of big, you know, sales shows. And
but those are the big national shows.
Those are the big national shows. What is the role of a regional convention center? And what is it, you know, who would come to it? You know, how frequently, how much would they spend? All questions. You know, you might want to look at building another kind of facility like a Olympic swimming pool if you want to see what can we invest in that's going to be an economic engine. I mean, it may not be in a convention center that's your best bang for the buck.
So as you look at the discussion points, though, that are often presented in either written form or in slideshows, if we only. Fair enough. Is this one we cede to other communities and say we're never going to have one? We're not designed for that. We don't have the infrastructure to get people in and out of here, of any magnitude. I mean, if you were hosting a convention of 200 of your brethren, how many days would it take for them to fly in here?
It would be a problem.
And then get back out.
Yeah.
Okay. So your 2-day event has turned into a 2-week event. Convention.
Right, and then you're not, you know, competitive.
Right. So are we kidding ourselves thinking about convention centers, large meeting facilities? Are we more the executive retreat kind of place and bring your top 12?
Well, certainly. I mean, let's think what scale our market is best geared towards. At the Bureau, we like to look at what we call the association market, or sometimes in the trade it's called, we refer to it as SMERF, which is an acronym for Social, Military, Education, Religious, Fraternal. Those are the kinds of groups that will have a smaller, more focused meeting that we may well be suited for, particularly if there are regional organizations, you know, Northern California, you know, Purchasers Association or whatever, people who are going to live within 5-6 hour drive, and some of them can fly in, some can drive in. All of a sudden, we can host 100 people. We have the facilities for them, and we know we can give them a superior experience.
With the still working within that example of a one building, one entity, self-contained facility?
Not necessarily. I mean, you mentioned River Lodge, and there was a good model there for a dispersed venue where we have the River Lodge itself, which does have breakout rooms. It can be configured to some extent. They can cater on premises, or there's a couple of good restaurants nearby, and there's, you know, 4 good hotels right there. So all within easy walking distance. That can definitely be packaged as a conference retreat.
So that could work.
That can work.
KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We'll be back with more from Tony Smithers.
The Humboldt Waste Management Authority is conducting a series of community workshops to share information regarding what services the authority provides, like hazardous and electronic waste collection events, along with the authority's future goals and opportunities for recycle and disposal. Tonight's workshop is in McKinleyville at the Grace Good Shepherd Church starting at 6. Join in for one of the series of workshops held this week and next week to give your input and share your thoughts about Humboldt Waste Management Authority. A full schedule of meetings are available at the website hwma.net.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. Tony, as you look into the future, you know, the Visitors Bureau has got, in one form or another, a couple extra bucks to play with. Okay. You've got a market that seems to show signs of life. You've got a little bit of investment going on locally.
Mm-hmm.
What does your crystal ball look like for the next 2.5 to 3 years?
Well, provided we play our cards right, we're sitting in a very good position. Things I've been reading about the visitor economy, while it hasn't been roaring along, there's a lot of pent-up demand. And it may not seem like right now with everyone worried about the fiscal cliff and et cetera, but folks do want to get out and travel. The economy is doing better. These are going to be reflected in the number of folks on the road and in the air and traveling. Now, all of a sudden, you combine that with the fact that we do have some more resources now with the formation of the Humboldt Lodging Alliance and of the tourism assessment. If that partnership can be leveraged and those funds can be spent in a smart way to reach new markets, to reach new customers, to really effectively, you know, if you believe in marketing, then that should work, yes?
To do the job.
Yeah. Then we're in a position to get our more than our fair share of that demand that's out there. And yes, that's a 2 or 3 year prediction.
Consumer confidence, does that play into this at all?
I mean, yes.
When you said pent up demand, okay, there's pent up demand, and then there's log jams, tidal waves, pent up demand. Do you think with the trades that you have, the associations you have, is there confidence at this point to travel? There may be the demand, but is there enough confidence? Is there enough available resources to actually do the 2 or 3 or 4 night stays that you look for?
Yes, and it's not going to be a logjam because it's going to be steady growth rather than anything really spectacular. In fact, the prognosis is that for real growth, we need to look for our overseas markets. Now, what's going to happen when we finally figure out how to welcome the Chinese traveler to the U.S.? There's such a potential there that no one really knows what to do with it yet. Even if we just got a ghost of a slice of that market, it would be a big deal for us.
So do you lead that one? Do you complement? Or do you just augment what's happening?
We make sure through our associations and partnerships that we have a place at the table. So that, for instance, as a member of the North Coast Tourism Council, we are working with certain international marketing groups for certain markets. And we'll be looking at, do we add China? You know, what's next? Certainly interfacing with Visit California, which has a strong initiative on now to be China ready, as an example. So your product has to be in the distribution pipeline, and our job is to make sure that the redwoods are there in that pipeline.
Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
Happy Christmas.
Happy.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go ahead and make it a good day. Hugs, love, see you tomorrow.